big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host, and this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm bringing back my friend Nick Blevins. Nick and I share a common connection. Not only do our churches know each other, but we also are connected through the Orange Conference and through Orange Blogging. And we're actually going to be getting together next week at the Orange Conference with a bunch of other people, so it's going to be really exciting. But one of the things I'm really excited to have Nick on about is that we're going to be talking about volunteer recruitment. Dun, 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 dun. That's right, the infamous volunteer recruitment. How do you recruit volunteers? What do you do, and what are some tricks and tips that you can do? And the cool thing is that Nick's got some ideas, and that's why he's on the podcast. So I'm really excited to have Nick on the podcast. I'm really excited to have him here. And without any further ado, let's get in the interview now with Nick Blevins talking about volunteer recruitment strategies. All right, with me right now is my friend Nick Blevins. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Tom. Getting over a cold, you know, Easter wearing me down. But other than that, I'm almost recovered. I'm doing pretty well.
Well, it's hard to get rid of colds when it's still cold out on the East Coast. You know, you would think. I actually think I saw some like little flurries in our area today, so it was kind of odd. So
it's completely stupid that we had to have a snow plan in effect for this past weekend. So it's mid-April. For one of our student events, two of our students, actually, a middle school event on Saturday and a high school event Sunday night, and we had to talk snow plans. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, can you just be over this?
I know.
But it didn't happen. It didn't happen, so everything was good.
Well, because it's like, you know, so much things in the D.C., Baltimore area, you know, it says one thing, like, we're going to get all this snow, and then all of a sudden it goes north or it goes south of us. We didn't get hardly any snow this year, at least for us.
Yeah. We got a little bit, but not much. And that, you're right. That's how it usually works. Is, oh, it's going to be snowmageddon, and it's doing whatever.
Yes. So, that's cool. Well, Nick, I'm glad you're on the podcast again. I've been trying to track you down for a long time, but you're so busy. You got so much going on. You know, it's hard to track you down.
I'm trying to get guests on my podcast. You know, like, gotta have you come back, and you know.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Well, anytime. You know, just, you know, let me know. But well, for anybody who doesn't know who you are, why don't you give a quick little bio? What do you do and where you're at?
So I'm the next gen pastor at Community Christian Church north of Baltimore, Maryland. We were a church plant 12 years ago. Tom's church was one of the key partners in that, contributing a good amount of money and lots of wisdom. And you all did like the church, like the project management. You know, you have an organization that helps with church plants. Uh-huh. And so that was 12 years ago, which just does not seem like 12 years ago. Yeah. And so that's what I do. I, you know, lead that staff team so everything we do from babies all the way up through high school and kind of that transition into adulthood, college years, all that kind of stuff. That's what I do at church. And then outside of that, I just love trying to help church leaders work on their ministry, grow as leaders and do different things there, you know, through writing and the podcast, listening to people tell me how they do stuff so I can learn and steal their ideas and all that good stuff and share it with others. So,
yeah. And you've got a lot of great stuff and you got a lot of great wisdom. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about today is volunteer stuff, but you also do some stuff with Orange too in the past as well, correct?
I have. I'm a big fan of Orange, and mostly, like I always tell people, my favorite thing about Orange, the organization, so if you're not familiar, you know, they're a strategy company that also does curriculum for kids. I think about Orange is the people, and you know, Tom, the people we know, they're just amazing people. But my second favorite thing is that they're always innovating. Mm-hmm. You know, they're always thinking, they're always planning. And as a church leader, I don't have time to do all that.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they do. So I love getting to work with them on whatever projects, might be writing an ebook like I did last year. In fact, I don't know if you can, like if people subscribe to Weekly, which is a really good subscription tool for anybody that leads in children's ministry and student ministry. You know, there's an ebook I did for them about how to do good trainings for small group leaders. And so I've done things like that, but I mostly just soak it in. I go, you know, go to the Orange Conference and go to Orange Tour next. And what is it? 2 weeks away. So I'm looking forward to this year.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I cannot wait. When it comes to April, I look forward to the warmer weather, but I also look forward to going to Atlanta for the Orange Conference. So that gets me pumped up every spring. So
that's me too.
All right. Well, let's get into the topic today. We're going to talk about volunteers, and we've got a cool thing that you're doing that I want to share with people. But let's get into just some basics about volunteers. Volunteer recruiting is really easy, isn't it?
Yeah. If that were the case, everybody would never complain about it. You wouldn't hear complaints on Facebook about people calling out on Saturday night for children's ministry on Sunday, or running student ministry with three leaders and 75 students or whatever. No, I think it's hard. I think it's really hard. However, I think we make it harder than it has to be. Or actually, I shouldn't say that. We don't put the time into it. I think it's probably the biggest challenge most leaders face is you don't put the time into it. So it is hard, but it's harder to make the time. The actual work of recruiting, I mean, it's not like it's harder work than anything else you do. You just have to make time for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, no. That's been like a huge light bulb right now. That in fact, talk to me a little bit about that. What do you mean make time for? What would you do to make time for volunteer stuff?
Well, so as you know, I started this volunteer playbook group is what I call it. It's basically a 10-week course where I do a live teaching each week over video or Zoom call. And usually it's live. A couple of times it'll be recorded. And then people comment and stuff. There's a Facebook group, and basically we go through the 10-week course together is essentially what it is. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I learned for sure is most leaders don't put a lot of time into recruitment. Like if I ask every time I ask, this is the second time I've done the course, and I say, how many hours do you spend a week on volunteer recruitment and development and like onboarding, not even just recruitment, but like the onboarding and all that. And it's like 1 hour. The most I get is 4 hours. Usually I would say the average is probably one. It's zero or two.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think what happens is if you only spend 0 or 1 hour on recruitment, usually that means you're spending it probably on people who are already interested, right? You're probably not spending that time talking to new folks. Then it's not a surprise when you don't have enough volunteers and you don't know where to get them. So that's been, I do that too, because it's just easier to work on the things that are like right there in front of you that you can finish.
Yeah.
In preparation for that week. And volunteer recruitment can feel like, yeah, I need more volunteers, but I don't need it more than I need the story for this Sunday or whatever, the teaching for Sunday night or whatever.
Yeah. Dude, that makes a lot of sense to me, because as I was thinking about it, like I often will say, man, I need more volunteers. I need more volunteers. But I think I say more of I need more volunteers than I actually focus on, okay, well, how am I going to do that? What am I going to do? Who am I going to connect with today to make sure that I can find some volunteers? So that's a really good thing. I think, dang, it was such a practical application of scheduling time throughout the week to say I'm going to work on my recruitment plan and actually talking to and working with people to recruit them.
Yeah, and I think actually that's one of the surprising. So when I did the course, is mostly, I'd say it's really two things. One is recruiting, like how to recruit one-on-one, how to build a system, how to do it regularly, even some strategies later on. The middle of the course is pretty much working on your ministry, training. How do you do training? How do you do structure? What's your structure look like? What about roles, like positions and all that? And, you know, so it's like that's not all just volunteers, though it impacts it. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that surprised me was, and still is right now, we're in week 9 of the second version of this group, so there's only 1 week left. Early on, what I have everybody do is you make a list of prospects. And if you know you need 20 volunteers, like if you had 20 more new volunteers, you'd fill your team. Then what I tell you is you need 4 times as many prospects. You need 80 prospects, because not everybody's going to say yes.
Right.
But you need, well, in my mind, getting the prospects is the easiest part, because it's literally just names on a list. It's not, you don't have to know them. They do not have to have expressed interest. It's like search your church database, find all the parents who aren't serving, get people to give you, like look in your church database for people who are in small groups or Sunday school, but aren't on a serving team. Like to me, that's the easiest part, because you're literally just making a list. And what has surprised me is very few people actually get the number that I tell them. So I'll tell them, you need 4 times as many. So, and not many, I'd say maybe 20% of the group will get that many prospects. And I keep asking, what's the challenge, you know, waiting for them to share why that's hard. I think in some churches they do too much. So the pool, the potential prospect pool is smaller than they think. So you just get a nice list of people and then you work on contacting them and from there helping them take their best next step. And if that's volunteering, great. If it's not, that's okay too.
Yeah. Well, and that's a really good point that you also just made. And I wonder, here's a question, is being too, having our church do too much, is that one of the hidden barriers to volunteer recruitment? Like the fact that we're so spread out and we're constantly doing, does that hurt us in the long run in regards to volunteer recruitment?
Absolutely. One of the things we do early in the group is you take an assessment. It's pretty extensive too. People probably hate me because it's a lot of numbers. It's a lot of subjective questions. Mm-hmm. There's probably two sides to it. There's the church side, so just give us the how healthy is your culture and, you know, whatever. Well, early on in the book, one of the things we talk about are like hidden barriers, like you said, to volunteer recruitment, like these barriers that you can't even tell are getting in the way. Mm-hmm. They are, and one of them we say is competition. It's like you're talking about. You have too many options.
Yeah.
And what I'll tell people, I probably can't walk through this in a podcast. It's probably too confusing, but what I walk people through is, and you could figure this out, somebody listening could figure this out, get your whole staff to figure out how many volunteers they want to fill all, their whole team. Mm-hmm. So there's how many they have now, but how many would you need to fill up your whole team? And not like ridiculous fill up where we've got like two and three people waiting on the bench or whatever, you know what I mean? But just right. If your team was full, how many people are we talking? If you added that up for your whole church, what is that number in relation to how many people you get on a weekend that could serve?
Yeah.
Like, and it's not far-fetched to say there's a church of 400, right? Let's say, and they got 100 kids. So there's 300 adults and students. It's not far-fetched at all to say they might think that if they added up all of their volunteer needs, that they would say, you know what? We need 275 volunteers. And you're like, wait a minute, you've got 300 total people attending on average. How in the world do you expect to get, what is that, 95% or something of your people serving? Like, it's unrealistic. So that's helpful for people to open their eyes to say, you know what? Maybe we are doing too much. We could never fill all these roles. We could never get 80% of these roles filled. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And if you're constantly using the same people over and over and over again, they're going to get worn out and tired and then just want to not do it ever again anyways.
There are, and you hear like 20% do 80% of the work or whatever. I don't have a good number for this yet. I need to factor this into that thing I was just talking about, but I think you can depend on a certain number of people to double dip, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like in our church, because we track volunteers a certain way, I could tell you that 20 to 25% of the people double dip. Mm-hmm. But most of them are small group leaders for an adult group and do something else, which is a double dip, but it's not the same as being like in a small group and leading in kids ministry and leading in the band, mm-hmm. right? That's worse.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the magic number is, but I think to an extent it's okay. But if, you know, if half the church is double dipping, you're just doing way too much.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I agree completely. And that's actually a good exercise to do within your church. So I like that thought that you just had, because I mean, again, if you have so many positions to fill and you don't even reach that many on a average weekend service, that's going to be a big problem for you to fill those things. So give me some.
What I would say, okay. Let me throw this in real quick. Again, yeah. This is like math and people may be checking out on a podcast, but the best churches based on most data get 60 to 70% of their, and I would say 60% of their average like adult student attendance serving. Mm-hmm. So if you need 80% to fill your needs, I mean, good luck. You're trying to be like 0.2% of churches. It's just probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
You got to look at and see if you're asking people to do too much.
No, that's a really good insight there. And I love the fact that you have, like, again, you do a lot of research into this. You do a lot of studying into it. And so these are numbers that you're not just throwing out there. You actually know these kind of stuff. So that's really cool. Give me a practical strategy before we get into talk about your group. Give me a strategy or two that we can encourage people with today in regards to recruiting. If they're frustrated, they're like, what do I do? I can make more time for it. That's one. But give me something else that they can do today.
Yeah, it's a good week to ask. This is week nine of this week's group. And in week nine, we talk about recruitment strategies. I feel like it's what everybody wants all along, because it's like the boosts or the one time a year things you can do. But I think the one-on-one is the most important. So you make prospect lists, you contact people every week, try to move them into onboarding. That's the best thing you can do. But some other ideas, and these are some of the ones we talked about today. I think if you could do like a summer team, so if you serve in children's ministry or some ministry, if you could recruit to a specific team for a specific season, that's a great idea, because volunteers, potential volunteers, have fears about serving. Are you going to keep me forever? Am I going to look stupid and not know what I'm doing? What if I don't like it? Like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so they have fears about serving. But if you say, like, for instance, we do a summer team for children's ministry, we get a lot of people sign up because they're like, hey, it's only 2 or 3 months. There's a training on the front end. If I don't like it, it's 2 or 3 months. And you know what? A lot of people stick coming out of there. So that's one. I would say another one is if you could do like either an orientation, right? Like, so it's like, you know, student ministry behind the scenes, student ministry open house, whatever. Mm-hmm. It gives you an excuse to like invite people to something. And you can even make cards and give them out to your current volunteers so they can invite their friends, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then you do an orientation of sorts where, again, they're not committing to anything coming to the meeting. They're just going to learn more about it. And then when you're there, you sell them on it. You know, you try to cast vision for why that's really important. Those are a couple strategies. A big one, though, that I think is missing in most churches is if you think about, okay, if somebody comes to my church new for the first time this week, you probably have some sort of idea or a plan or a path of what steps they should take to be fully involved. I find that a lot of churches do not intentionally get people to volunteer as part of that path. Mm-hmm. I think there has to be like a clear path that this is step one and that's step 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
And somewhere in there is a volunteering thing. I think for most ministry leaders, if they just had that, that would be helpful, you know, because there'd be that steady stream of people being invited to volunteer.
No, that's a really good point, because I think you're right. I'm trying to think of our strategy of what, you know, what we go from spot to spot to spot. And we do include that as a part of it, but I wonder how much of a intentionality we put into it and say, really, if you really want to experience the most out of your church experience, it's best to get plugged in and involved with something.
I got another one real quick. This might be the best one.
Good.
Because I've done in the past, I did it actually not to recruit volunteers. I did it to see if I could get some of my current volunteers to become coaches, like leaders of other volunteers.
Yeah.
And it was basically a 6-week course on like a group class kind of thing on discovering God's dream for your life, what you're made for, how you're wired, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I used Craig Groeschel's book called Call Zone. It's spelled chazone, like the Hebrew word for vision, I believe.
Okay.
It's call zone. And I just used the first half of that book. And I don't think it included a personality profile, but I did that.
Yeah.
But it's pretty simple. It was like, and people can download it on my site for free. But what was great about it is people like to talk about themselves. They like to learn about themselves. They like to learn how they're unique and wired and what's their unique purpose. And so people love that group. So if you did that, you know, let's say this summer or something, you offer a 6-week course, Tuesday nights for a couple hours or whatever, man, you could get a lot of people to come. And if it's the right fit, their next step could be serving on a team.
Yeah.
So you could strategically invite people who are not serving right now, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no, these are great ideas, Ben. I really like it. And it really encompasses not just your specific ministry, but it encompasses the whole church and really gets people plugged in from when they start coming into your church until really being active and involved. And I like how you say that, really, again, to be get the best out, most out of your church experience, it's best to be involved with serving and helping out in your church. So I think these are awesome. Dude, this has been fantastic, and I know that actually, if people want to know more about this stuff, you've got a great group that you've, again, tell us about your group. I want to hear about your group a little bit, and why you started it, what you go through, and then when's your next group starting up. So just share a little bit about your volunteer group.
Sure. Well, the group happened by accident. The idea was a book. And that book idea was, I can always track it because I started writing it the month our son was born, and he's 5. So that's how long ago I've had this idea, but not actually written the book. And now the idea then was, You know, everybody needs more volunteers. That's the biggest felt need for most ministry leaders. Could I write a book that would, and I called it the Volunteer Playbook, with the idea that it's almost like in sports world where it's a playbook from the beginning to the end. Like it addresses all the areas you need to address in your ministry to make it healthy so that volunteering is not as much of a burden.
Yeah.
Well, it took me a long time to do anything with it. I wrote some that year, came back a couple years later, wrote some, really put an emphasis on it early last year, even changed the focus. Cause I thought, you know what? People are just going to get too bored with that from the ground up kind of thing. Like who gets excited about all of those elements. So I kind of put it like mapped it out, did the whole post-it note on the board thing, whatever. And I don't remember what triggered the idea, but I thought, you know what? I want this to become a course because I've been helped by courses and, you know, a book is great, but like, I think there needs to be some accountability and all that. So, and I realized I could actually create a course that easier than I could write the book. You know what I mean? Like that's because I know the content and putting it together to teach in an hour a week and then helping people with coaching and stuff like that I could do. And so I did, I kind of put it together on the, not really on the fly, but as like last fall when the first group met, I kind of put it together as the group was going on and took one round through it last fall. It's 10 weeks. And then we're at the end of the second round now. And it's been a lot of fun. I love it. I do want to write the book. That is, I joined John Acuff's finished course earlier this year.
Nice.
I've done the coaching calls with him and I have my last one Friday and I have to tell him I still haven't done anything. I've been doing some of the course, but I'm slacking on the book. So I really want to finish the book because I feel like, you know, the course costs money and the book will too, but it's a fraction. You know, the Volunteer Playbook course costs $200. The book will be what, 10, 15, I don't know.
Right.
So I want to finish the book because I feel like it can help more churches, but that's the idea that we could take volunteering from this frustration and this burden to actually this fuel and this thing that's good. And we're never going to be full. I mean, who has 100% volunteers, but get it out of like that 70%, 60% realm. And in that 80 to 90% realm where it functions well and it's a good culture and like you're excited about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the idea.
No, that's great. And I guess, and it's great that you go through with a small group of people so that people can kind of talk together and converse about the highs and lows of volunteer recruitment, right?
They do. Like part of the idea is because like, you know, there's courses out there. Like I've done plenty of video courses. I've done Carrie Newhoff's High Impact Leader, which is amazing. That are video kind of go at your own pace. Mm-hmm. And I would love to do that. It would be easier because you record it one time and then it's just there.
Yeah.
But like every week there's a call and we look at your numbers and you share your numbers and you fill out this form and people see, you know, what your numbers are and you can ask questions as we go. I think that accountability is part of what's helpful, but it's like any course. Here we are week 9. We probably have 25% of the people regularly on the call, filling it out the form and doing all that stuff that you have on week 1. But the good thing for them is it stays there all the time. So they can finish it at their own pace and do all that kind of stuff. So I think that's what I do like about the group. And the other thing that's great is as everybody's creating resources, so volunteer job descriptions, orientation books, ministry handbooks, culture training plans, all of that is shared. So like when you join the course, you get access to everything that was created before. Nice. And so you don't have to start from scratch. You're like, hey, I got to make a handbook for my student ministry. I'm going to go look, dig around, find the one I like and, you know, start there instead of starting with a blank document or whatever. So that's been good too.
Oh, that's really awesome. That's fantastic. Okay. So you're getting ready then that you'll eventually start a third one sometime soon. How can people learn more about this? Where do they go?
Just go to volunteerplaybook.com. Obviously it's not open yet for the next round, but that'll be in the summer. So it'll open soon, but there's a form on there. I believe I should look it up, where you can sign up for a wait list. And all it does is you just sign up. And then what I'll do is when it opens up again, I'll email you. Yeah. The waitlist form's on there. I just emailed that we're going to do it again. So I'm going to do it in the summer and then I'm planning on doing it in the fall too. So we'll see. It's a lot of fun though. I enjoy it.
See, that's awesome. And you do have a lot of knowledge and it's kind of cool to be in a group setting with people. So I would highly recommend this again, based on what I know about Nick and his ministry, I would highly recommend you get plugged into this Volunteer Playbook group. And then when he finishes the book, we should all download the book or buy the book when it comes out. Okay, Nick, that's how they get connected with Volunteer Playbook. How can they connect with you? Like what's your blog and your social media stuff?
You got it. My website is just my name, nickblevins.com. Twitter, Facebook is the same. Although Facebook, I have a page that's related to all this stuff. It's Nick Blevins blog, like facebook.com/Nick Blevins blog. And then like some 14-year-old got my Instagram handle before I did way back then. Of course, he's probably 20-something now. So my Instagram is N.A. Blevins. I don't post as much there. I should. I wish I did.
Yeah.
I love following Instagram because I love seeing everybody's pictures and Insta stories. Yeah. I, on the other hand, am pretty awful at that part, but I would like to improve. You're mostly probably getting pictures of my kids on Instagram. That's probably what you're getting. So
no, I started.
Everything's on there. The volunteer playbook is linked from there and all that stuff too.
Yeah, I saw the I have Instagram, but I don't use it nearly as much. I love Twitter, so Twitter's my vibe. So and then your podcast, what do you talk about on your podcast specifically?
I call it the Family Ministry Podcast, which is, I'm sure, completely misleading, but there was not a perfect name.
There's definitely not.
There isn't, because like we don't, like if you say family ministry, what do you mean? Kids ministry that partners with parents? What I mean in case of the podcast is everything from, you know, preschool through high school and even into college. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't expect anybody listens to every episode because they bounce around.
Yeah.
So last week it was student ministry. You know, the next week it might be preschool. I just recorded one today that's about event planning. So everybody will listen to that probably because everybody does events. But that's the idea, is it hits every role, every ministry, even every aspect of the ministry, from kids ministry all the way up through student ministry. That's the idea.
Yeah, it's great. I enjoy listening to podcasts, and I'm actually I can't wait for this event planning one to drop, because I'm going to be doing some more outreach stuff, and this will be fantastic. So good.
Oh, it's pretty good, man. The guy, Jim Murphy's his name. He's a Next Gen pastor, and they use Basecamp to plan events and stuff. And we're even recording a video a couple of days from now of him showing his screen how they use Basecamp. So like, it's going to get, and they're crazy. Like, he's got it down to where, like, they do an event and it's all managed in Basecamp. Man, they hit copy paste on that template and it's ready to go for next year. And it's got everything from like everything you need to buy down to what the volunteer at the door needs to say.
Like, that's awesome.
That's pretty cool. So he walks, I mean, the podcast, because you can't see it, we can't talk in that level of detail, but in the video, you'll get to see some of that. So that's what my podcast is every week. It's just somebody talking about ministry, and it might be real niche.
Yeah.
Or it might be broad, you know, but just something new every week. I learn every week. I love it.
Yeah. Now I'm with you on that as well. So, well, cool. I can't wait to get these things. And again, as always, I'll have all these links on the show notes so that you can just click on the show notes links and get connected with Nick and his video playbook and his blog and podcast. So that's great. Well, Nick, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
You bet, Tom. Thanks for having me back. Look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks in Atlanta, where it's going to be warm.
It will be warm. Yes, I'm looking forward to that as well. All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Nick. I always love catching up with him, whether it's on the podcast or at an Orange Conference event. It's always great to catch up with him and hear his insights, because he's got a ton of great insights. And I was actually really excited to hear about his group, the Volunteer Playbook group. And I would encourage you, if you're really looking for some insights and some thoughts, I mean, Nick puts a lot of time and energy into it. I mean, he does work for Orange on some things. So, I mean, people value his opinion, and it's not just some whim of an idea or a strategy. He's got some real thoughts into it, and he's got a great group. So I would strongly encourage you to look at it. I've got the links to it all in my show notes, and so I'd love for you to check it out. But I would also love to hear from you. What are your strategies? What are your tips and tricks that you use in your ministries to recruit volunteers? I know it's a stress for me sometimes, and it's overwhelming for me sometimes. So I would love to hear from you. So hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder, or you can even email me, tom@ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for today. As always, as we kind of wrap things up, if you love the podcast and you like this episode, go to the iTunes and subscribe to it, or you can go to ymsidekick.com and subscribe to it there. You can always check out my blog and the vlogs and the podcast as well, but also the Twitter ebook that I have about three distinct advantages Twitter has to help expand your reach in your ministry. So you can check all that out at ymsidekick.com. All right, here's why. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and until next week, have a great one.